question. A lot of the pushback I get from other Christians is like, well, I don't think Christians should belong in politics. What, where do you stand on that?
Well, there's a whole book of Judges.
Today brings me a lot of joy because I have somebody on this podcast that I've been following his career path for, I want to say, years at this point. And it's a little crazy when you tell somebody that because you don't exactly know how they're going to react. But I do get a lot of joy from his channel. I do get a lot of interesting conversations and interesting points out. And so I'm very excited to welcome onto my podcast, Emmanuel. Thanks so much for being here, man.
Thank you, bro. That's cool though. I didn't know that. I thought you just recently saw something I think that's cool. I grew up with the platform that I had, you know.
Yeah, you definitely did.
I didn't ask for it or anything. And definitely like when I was 13, I just started posting stuff online and it, whatever happened, but everybody was my age, you know?
Right.
So I'm 25 right now. And outside or something, when people see me and they're like, I grew up watching you, it makes me feel old. But it's because I asked them, like, how old are you? They're like, oh, 24, 23, 25, somewhere around the same age. And I'm like, oh, that's why. We literally grew up together, you know?
Yeah, so. I feel like your generation of creators are kind of like this new group of like Nickelodeon stars or Disney stars, right? It's like who kids grow up watching because they like them. So it's an interesting place to be. I could imagine what it's like when you walk down the street. So I want to tell you a little anecdote before we get started, because I think this is so cool. When I first discovered your stuff, I was just laughing because you were doing a lot of comedy skits and stuff like that. You know, you'd put the rag on your head and pretend to be like, you know, your mom or something. And I thought that stuff was so unique, and there was nothing like that happening at the time, you know? But at the same time, I was doing like a Christian blog back when blogs were cool, right? And so I didn't know anything about you. I didn't know if you were Christian or not. And so I just decided I got all really spiritual one day, and I was watching your stuff, and I messaged you on Facebook, and I just like was like, bro, I love what you're doing. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that you know that He guards you and protects you, and I just pray that you get to know Him more. And then I forgot about it. You know, I just sent this little message. So I guess this is my way of saying that I'm taking credit for your entire career.
or my salvation.
Because, your salvation, no, yeah.
But I like to hear it, though, because, you know, when I was doing worldly stuff and everything, I had people that in those times, they were going through their struggles and their walk. And they, you know, found Christ while I was still in there. And a lot of people unfollowed me, you know, once they made that final step of giving up the world, which I was a part of, and choosing Christ, like, ultimately, and not just living this in-between where, yeah, I'm Christian, yeah, I believe, but I'm also going to listen to Cardi B, I'm also going to watch Old Emmanuel, I'm also going to, you know, mingle in this, mingle in that, but made that final decision, so I got left behind, you know, in that decision-making. Which kudos to you guys. But once I gave my life to Christ, you know, the flood of messages that I received and still to this day, where there's still people finding me again. And they're like, yo, I used to pray for you, you know, I for real used to pray and ask God, like, yo, bring him to God. Like, I could feel that, you know, you were somebody that like God loved and He wanted to use you and not, you know, and you shouldn't be there, like where you know where they saw me before. And I think it's something cool, because I always thought it was just my mother, you know, who I would see praying for me at like 4 or 5 in the morning. I would think like she's just so stupid.
I'm like
I'll wake up like 4 in the morning, like half sleep, just look at her. I'm like, what are you doing?
You know? There's nothing like a praying mom's prayers, man. They'll save you from a lot of things.
That's right.
But I want to go right into that, man, because I think your spiritual walk is what's kind of giving you a depth that most creators lack, right? It's like your ability to be so open about everything you were going through. Even before you were a Christian, you were still open about what you believed in spiritually, right? And so I remember watching, I think it was a live that you did way back where you kind of went through the whole story. Can you unpack? I want to start specifically when you started looking into spiritual things, not necessarily Christianity, but just like the, you know, Buddhism and universalism and all of these things. What got you into there? And then just kind of walk us through. Let's do a little linear journey, I guess.
Yeah, bro. Actually, so just so that people know, I my family is Christian, right? Oh, matter of fact, put quotes on there. My family is Christian. You know, but my mom, she was a hardcore Christian, my father as well. And my father was actually a pastor. And when, you know, when they got together, they would actually go and evangelize. And my father was like big time, like evangelist, traveling everywhere. They would book him to churches and everything. Yeah, but my father's life did like a whole, I wouldn't even call it a 360. What's 360 plus 360? Whatever that is.
A 720.
Whatever that is, bro, that's what he did plus 720.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's what the devil does, you know. And my entire household, and, you know, you could bring this up later or not, but the man is the head of the house. And upon losing that, my entire household lost that Christian foundation
and leadership.
Yeah, of course. And the devil does his best to kind of just pull the rug from under your feet, you know, per se. And that's what happened with my mom. It's kind of like she couldn't really fight back in that abuse that she was going through and I was going through. You know, he will beat me for no reason. You know, he will beat my mom. I will be under the bed covering my little sister's eyes, you know, so she won't see anything. And that was a cycle, very toxic. And he would constantly tell her, well, you're Christian. You can't do anything. You know,
wow. Like
you're Christian. You can't fight me back. You're Christian. You can't, you know, argue back with me. You're Christian. You can't, you know, have hate towards me or you have to forgive me, you have to, you know, and he will manipulate the word, which is what Satan does, you know, against her. And it worked, you know, and she said, well, you know what? As of today, nobody here Christian. And
wow.
She began to fight back in, you know, in flesh. And we came to New York after a whole, you know, that's a whole nother story, but we came to New York. Literally lost our home, everything. Lived in shelters for a long time. And throughout all of that, somewhere I just remember, like living in shelters, somewhere I just remembered the joy I had of just like creating and writing skits, which I used to do since I was 8 years old. Like, no lie, I have maybe like 2-3 videos that I uploaded to my MySpace when I was like 8-9 years old. Yeah, man, when I would write, bro, I would write skits. I would make my friends act it out. I never was in front of the camera. I would make my friends act it out. And I just love laughing. Like,
yeah,
I loved laughing. You know, I get by everything in my life with joy and laughter. And that's just what I like to do. And I shared that with the world. And that's what began the whole platform. I was never I want to be a famous person. I was never, I want to be a rich person or I want to have a platform or this or that. It's just something that came with it. So even when I became, you know, just hardcore Christian, like it didn't affect me that so many people left because it didn't matter to me in the first place. But
so what was the first glimpse of like a spirituality or you starting to think about spirituality? What was the first glimpse of that? Like,
yeah, exactly. So that was just context to let you know, where my mindset was when I began to kind of just ask myself the questions outside of my parents and outside of growing up in the church. I think a lot of people, you know, have that experience where the choice was made for them because they grew up in it. And I think it was after that fan base started forming in the beginning, like maybe Sheesh, I don't know what year it was when I was like 14 years old, but when I was 14, it just started just popping up in my head, just kind of, you know, who is God and things like that, or more so, what does my life mean, I guess, you know, because in my eyes, I just like my family was broken and I lost all my friends and, you know, and I'm a kid, so I'm just thinking about all the friends that I lost and everybody that I grew up with. When I lived in that, I lived in a gated community, so everybody just knew each other and we all grew up together. I felt like, yo, I just lost all of that, you know.
Right.
I lost my home. I don't have a father. I don't have this. So I think that subconsciously somewhere, I knew that I could find a father in God. And that's why I began to ask myself, just kind of, you know, what is my life for? And, you know, what is the purpose of all of this? But regardless of all of that, and even being so young, I kind of just put my faith in God to be my father.
Right,
If you
right.
know, if you could say that. That kind of progressed into me knowing Christ, but in my own way, which is harmful. So from the
Yes.
beginning, let me just tell everybody that that's harmful.
Well, this is the interesting part that I really wanted to unpack because I
Yeah.
think a lot of people can relate to that. I know I related to that and I went through a similar thing where it's like you start pursuing spirituality and Christianity is something that's
Yeah, it's
like
like
it's
it's
so, I
so, I
guess,
guess,
all
all
around
around
us
us
all the
all the
time
time.
that we forget to look in the most obvious place, which is Jesus in the Bible, right? It's like there's Bibles everywhere. So we start trying to dig for something, some sort of revelation that is a secret that's been kept from us, and it leads us right into like this new age stuff.
Yeah, and so it's good you say that. So look, that transition to just like my own, I'm gonna just say my own Jesus because that's what it was, just plain and simple. My own Jesus, who I believe. So I believed in Jesus, I believed in God, but I wasn't reading the Bible. Where was I getting this, who God was from? It was from myself.
Right.
So everything that I did, everything that I wanted to do, my goals manifested into who I believed Jesus was. So Jesus was, you know, I believed there was a Jesus, but for some reason in my head, Jesus was just a manifestation of everything that I ever wanted to do, any goals of, you know, everything that I ever feared not ever happening to me, and, you know, protection and positivity and all these things. So if you listen to what I'm saying right now, you can see how that easily connects to New Ageism, but
Yeah.
it didn't get there yet. I started first, kind of just how you said, looking into things more of in the, sorry, the perspective of just kind of, there has to be more out there. And it's crazy because if you really found God, I mean, God is the beginning and the end. It's crazy how you could say you found God, but there's still yet more out there. It's like, what? Question mark.
Right.
But that was me, you know. I'm like, there gotta be more out there. And I was somebody who, I won a laptop when I was 11 at a block party. And I remember like my friend's mom put me in a block party, right? Block party. Right?
This is the New York City
Yeah.
block party?
No.
Dang.
This was a Jersey block party.
Okay, I'm in
I
Jersey.
and yeah, bro. And my friend's mom put me in a cab super duper fast as soon as I won that laptop. She said, go home, show nobody, and like, you know, get in your house. And because everybody wanted that laptop, man. I bought two tickets. People bought 50, 100 tickets. I won that laptop. And since I was 11, I had access to the internet in a room by myself with no parents, no anything. So for as long as I can imagine, I've had that access to the internet where no one was blocking me from searching anything or being introduced to anything, being indoctrinated by anything. And that's what happened. So since I was 11, like I was always interested in kind of searching just weird stuff, aliens. And then that just led to conspiracies, and I loved going through rabbit holes.
It's crazy that you say aliens, like that's the first thing that comes to your mind because
Yeah.
what I've noticed is like a lot of people who end up in the new age, that's the first thing that they're curious about. And that's what leads them down that whole spirituality road with, you know, transcendental meditation and all these different things. It's like the gateway is aliens. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's because it's simple. So here's the thing with New Age, and it's just not New Age. New Age is witchcraft. Like, let's call it what it is. It's just a new age of witchcraft, which is that's where the term comes from. But it's just witchcraft. And witchcraft is they use a lot of mediums, you know, which means, you know, something in the middle to connect you to these demonic things. And aliens is just another medium. It could have been anything else because it was other things for me. It wasn't necessarily aliens. Because in honesty, I didn't believe that there was, like, life in other planets and all that. But I did believe at that time, like, there has to be other dimensions. I didn't read the Bible, so I 100% believed that God was in another dimension super far away from me. I couldn't access. And there's definitely all these things in different dimensions and probably a whole different me in dimension 12 or whatever, you know,
the parallel universe
parallels
thing that Joe Rogan talks about.
Exactly. So that was my rabbit hole. 100% is kind of trying to figure out the world, how it works, how it operates for myself, while saying that I believed in God and all of those things. But again, I digress because I made my own God, but I didn't realize it at that time. And going through these rabbit holes is why I warn people so much. It's kind of like, I don't suggest people to go down all these conspiracies and all these things. And don't get me wrong, there is real life things that are obviously secret to us, you know, that we may not know, that gets exposed over time. Of course, secret societies, occults, all these things. But you got to really be careful and know God before you even hop into any of those things, because all those things are spiritual. Right. And if you don't know God, you're not going to know, you know, the spirit. If you don't have discernment, you're not going to discern properly. You're going to be deceived. You're going to get confused. You're going to get used. And that's just what happens. Right. I mean,
100%.
Satan tried to do it to Jesus. You know, what makes you think he won't do it to you? It's so important to know the Bible because of that. I mean, Satan knows the Bible like this, you know, and we think we know it so well. But hey. You know, at any point in time, Satan will use that same Bible that you're reading against you, twisting words around the same way he did to Jesus when Jesus fasted. Regardless of that, it didn't stop me from going further and further and further and further. And what was it? 2015? I think it was 2015, 2016. I started getting into law of attraction.
Right.
And I think I'm going to tell you exactly, because I had a whole wall where I would write every single thing that I ever wanted to do, every plan, every milestone of subscribers that I would get. And it started at 300, when I had 300,000 subscribers. I remember I wrote that big 300. That was like the first thing I wrote. That I had my YouTube plaque up there, anything I will gain up there. I will start writing places I wanted to travel. And look, yo, the devil is so, let me tell you, especially when you have a big calling in your life, bro.
Yeah.
People think that the devil doesn't give things. The devil does, but let me tell you something. He doesn't create anything.
Right.
This is how the devil gives you something. You ready? Check this out. It's so simple, bro. Check it out. A millionaire, right? Millionaire. Let's say Bill Gates sells his soul to the devil. Now the devil has access to Bill Gates and Bill Gates' money. What makes you think that he can't buy you off? You think he's making money pop out of nowhere? No. Hey, devil goes to Bill Gates. Bill Gates, I want you to put $50 million in this man's bank account. Because this man is about to do something for me. You know what I'm saying? Bill Gates, there, boom, deposits $50 million. You're like, oh my gosh, the devil gave me $50 million. The industry as well. All these satanic people, famous, all these things, boom. Satan, yo, I need you to go and accept this person into your flock. Make him famous, boom. All of a sudden, you popping, you famous, you with them, all that, boom, boom. Oh my gosh. And you see all these celebrities, bro. I thank God. You is not thanking Jesus. That's all I'm going to tell you. Jesus don't got you twerking up there and all that, and gave you that faith to do what you're doing. And all that. I don't want to hear none about that.
Let's dive into that a little bit, though, because that's a great talking point. This idea of like Satan working through somebody, right? It's almost like it's been mystified and almost made a caricature of, where like people are now like that means that there's this guy with horns like whispering into your ear. It's like, no, that becomes your voice, your conscience. That becomes what you think. And so when you're not being fed by the word of God, you're being fed by something else. And ultimately that becomes what you start to think and what you start to feel. And like you said earlier, like everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. So obviously there's going to be a spiritual component to your conscience and the things that you're thinking. So obviously the enemy is going to have a foothold there, because you've given your life to them, right? You're not following any moral code. So I think a lot of people get turned off by the idea of Satan and the devil, thinking that like Christians believe it's a guy with a pitchfork, but it's not true. I mean, it starts with something as simple as the law of attraction, right? It's like, what you're pretty much setting the price for the enemy. You're like, I want this. If that's I get good. This, I'm following you.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I mean, you know how they kind of say like, you can't put a price tag on your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, law of attraction is kind of like just putting that price tag on it. It's like, well, this is, you know, if this timeline that I have created works out for me, then I'm gonna continue on this path. So yeah. It doesn't take much for Satan to be like, word, that's all your life is worth. That's it. That's right here. Okay, cool. You know,
a few subscribers,
exactly.
Yeah.
A few subscribers, yeah. A few dollars. That's what your soul is worth in order to have you for eternity and not allow you to fulfill any of the promises that God has for you in your life. In order for me to destroy you, in order for me to rob from you, in order for me to literally rob and steal you from even having a family, bro. So many people right now, especially in the LGBT, bro, robbed of families that they could have had. Robbed of, you know, given diseases, all these things, just robbed. Yeah. Lifestyles robbed everywhere. People who commit suicide, life robbed, souls taken everywhere for the price of to Satan, literally nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Wow, that's so good, man. Wow. So let me ask you this. What was rock bottom for you when it comes to that stuff? What you may have felt on top of the world, right? Because it's like all of these goals are being met. You have all of these followers. You have people recognize you in the street. What was it that made you snap and be like, this isn't at all what I thought it would be, or this isn't at all what I wanted?
Keep in mind that I didn't ask for it in the first place.
Mm.
Right? When I got into the law of attraction, it was because I went through all those rabbit holes and I didn't know God. And so I got into universal laws.
Right.
It's like 12 of them, but one of them is law of attraction, right? Mm. The first one that I actually got into was, and this was me as an artist, as a creator. And I saw that anytime I would, let's say, have a video idea, and every day, there was a time where I was making 3 new skit videos or whatever videos a day, daily, every single day, period. 3 videos every day. Lowered that to 2, lowered that to 1, etc. But every day, multiple videos. I wouldn't even write. I would just turn on the camera and film.
Wow.
I noticed that I would like have a video idea, and I wouldn't act on it, and I will speak about it. And to me, it looked like I was speaking that out into the world. And for me, it started looking like I was giving away my ideas, because what I will notice is that within that week, I will see some other creator do the exact same video that I was going to make, but didn't act upon. Wow. Check this out. I'm looking for like an explanation to this. And I realized, I forgot what the law is called, but it explains that everybody is supposedly connected to this one bubble, one thought bubble. And everybody's thoughts and ideas and everything collects in that bubble, and you could grab from there whatever you want.
It's like group consciousness.
Yeah, like, no. I'll give you a better one. The cloud.
Okay, I feel you. I feel you.
Which now I'm starting to feel like the cloud is demonic.
Well, hey, I mean, the apple, you know? They bite the apple.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, so...
Before you move on, what were you reading? Like, what was the literature you were reading? Were you reading things, or this is like YouTube videos and stuff?
I can't explain to you, bro, the amount of things on YouTube that I discovered. It was just YouTube, a bunch of videos. But what got me into the law of attraction, I fell into the MLM scheme.
Okay. All right.
It the was gurus. It was called Verb Juice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they would sell a whole bunch of juice and everything, whatever. So in my eyes, I'm like, well, they have a product. And I actually did like the taste of their product. It was like some energy juice drink, whatever. And I did like it. And I said, you know, whatever, I'm going to try it. But I ended up not really going deep in that at all. I only spent like money to join the membership, and I never did anything with it. So they scammed me out of my membership fee. But they're like, you got to watch. They're all about law of attraction, by the way. All these MLMs, law of attraction, 100%. They'll gaslight the living life out of you.
You're not selling, then you don't want it bad enough.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I'm telling you, the weak-mindedness of people who fall for MLMs, and I was one of them.
I was too.
Yeah, man. And they gave me, you ready? I know you know this, The Secret.
Oh man, of course. That's the Bible for New Age.
Bro.
Yeah.
The Secret. The Secret. Wow. I watched it. I read it. I'm like, yeah. Start drawing on my wall.
Yeah.
Boom. Start drawing on my wall. And then I'm seeing everything that I drew on my wall happening, going that way, etc. But it's so crazy. I could literally go back and change the source of why all that happened so easily in a snap of my finger. I gave credit to Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, Law of Attraction is funny. It takes credit away from yourself, number one. It gives it to this universe. But there's reactions to your actions, man. If I slap your mother, you might slap me back. That's not Law of Attraction. That's not Law of Attraction. That slap was not the Law of Attraction, bro.
That's reap what you sow. That's what that is.
You know? So I'm literally putting out 3 videos a day, bro, working hard. It is me working hard, busting my butt every day, putting out skits on the daily, consistency. Me literally Googling, yo, how to work social media, figuring out myself. So many times I try to look for managers, look for this, never found one a day in my life. Had to learn everything myself, how to manage social media, how to this, how to run pages, how to market, all of that I did myself. And at the end of the day, I was saying it was Law of Attraction.
Wow. It's almost like a false humility, right? Whereas if you're a Christian, you can point to a real God that does things. Whereas the Law of Attraction is like, you're doing all this stuff yourself. Mm-hmm. If you fail, it's your fault. But if you succeed, it's the universe.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yo, that was perfect, bro. If you fail, it's completely your fault.
Yeah.
Maybe you wasn't putting it out there strongly.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, so that really just got me. It just really got me. I'm like, man, everything I say really happens. I'm like, everything that I say out my mouth, like that just happens. Wow. Hey, but I'll tell you this, though. I remember in the beginning, I tried and I said, you know, this week, somebody going to send me a $1,000 check. And I said it for the whole week. Did I get that $1,000 check? No. But I digress. Anyway, that actually was the first thing that got me into like wearing, I think now we're in 2016, started wearing crystals.
Oh, right.
Yeah, started wearing crystals. I spent money on those crystals, bro. Mm. They're expensive. They're expensive. I think the most that I spent was like, I think this is like $300 on like a tiny crystal. And the most I was about to spend on one, like close. But then I flew to New Orleans and had my whole testimony experience.
Wow.
I was going to pay, I think it was like $1,600 or something for this crystal. And it was some crystal that like lightning strikes on in, and they, you know, they made a whole fairy tale
It's
about it.
a great branding.
Yeah, they made a whole fairy tale about it, and I was like, yes, I was like, yes.
Wow.
So, you know, they're like, this is gonna open your third eye, this is gonna. So I got into all of that, man. Opening third eye chakras, crystals, you know, law of attraction, other laws,
How about
and
astral projection and stuff like that?
yes. But that was kind of borderline testimony, so I didn't really went
I
deep
see.
into it.
I see.
But what
For
I
those that
went,
don't know, for those watching, astral projection is where you're trying to awaken your third eye and pretty much come
come
out
out
of
of
your
your
own
own
body
body.
and be able to access reality from your spirit
Yeah,
body.
Insidious.
Insidious.
If you ever
Yes.
watch the horror movie, and don't watch it now, Insidious.
Yeah.
You know, when the boy, his soul left his body, and you know, he will have all those demonic entities, you know, trying to take him and all those things. So that's pretty much it. So, you know, an outer body experience forced through demonic, you know,
Right.
powers. And so, you know, I didn't really get into that deeply. I did study a lot into it. I had a friend at the time, Jeffrey. I don't know if you've seen me make videos with him very, very early when I was making videos, but we were both making videos together, and he was also into that as well. So me and him, like, we would, like, he would sleep over mostly every day at my house, you know, every week, et cetera. And we would talk about all of this. Like, we would get into all just astral projection, all of this. He was really into that too. You know, and pray for him, y'all, if y'all know who I'm talking about, because he's still really, 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 really deep, and he went off edge with it, to
Absolutely.
this day. But it got to the point where now, like, I have spirit guides, and that's where it got really dangerous, because
These are actual other people, right? That are guiding you
no,
through.
no,
Okay, all right. So
no,
this is a spiritual experience that you have
no.
people. Okay, so
No.
what do you mean?
So this might be new to you.
Yeah, maybe.
So you see, when people, Christians do it too. There's New Age in Christianity, I hope you know.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk about that, but yeah,
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go
we'll
ahead.
get there. But
We'll get there.
you know, especially being in it, and I peep it in a lot of churches. But anyway, you ever hear Christians talk about, I have a guardian angel?
Yes. Wow.
So, yeah, that's Satan right there. That's
Wow.
Satan right there. But
Yeah.
you hear that from, you know, religious people, Christian people. You hear that a lot of places. I have a guardian angel, or they'll make somebody who has passed away in their life their soul protector, and they'll call them their, you know, this is my guardian angel now. Oh, my grandma died, and that's another guardian angel added to me. All these things.
Right.
No. Demonic.
Well, to address that, that does come usually within like more Pentecostal churches or charismatic churches. And then also on the flip side of that, weirdly enough, usually it's people who are like non-practicing Catholics that kind of believe in the idea of like my grandma passed away, she's my guardian angel. It's that kind of, it just kind of comes from a lack of reading scripture
You know
in
what's
that
weird?
instance.
In my experience, I've been in Pentecostal church all my life. Maybe it's the English speaking Pentecostal church, but the Spanish church don't be on no like guardian angel stuff. Never heard it as far as
Oh,
me.
wow.
But I do hear a lot from Catholics, so reverse for me. But you hear it regardless, you hear it everywhere, right? Whether somebody's in the church or not, Christian or not. And I'm just here to tell y'all, like, that's literally where now that right there, besides everything else I was doing, that was the worst one.
Wow.
That was the worst one. And
So
it sounds
how
like the
did that affect
simplest.
you in your like real in your physical life? How did that affect you?
In my physical life, well, I was smoking at the time, and I knew something inside me knew, like, when I was into all of that, I knew that the more I smoked, the more, well, sorry, the higher I was, the more in tuned I was to those things. And at the same time, like, I didn't know it, but I'm telling you now, is the more access you gave to them.
Right.
And interesting. And them, I mean,
demonic figures.
Yes. Yeah. Which are spirit guides and right. guardian angels, same thing. They're not interchangeable. They're the same thing.
Right.
So spirit guides is the same thing as someone saying guardian angel. Guardian angels just sounds cute. And spirit and spirit guides just sounds like so spiritual and so woke.
Right.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't bother people to say it because they don't know the truth. And that's just another part of deceiving.
Yeah.
So what happens is that spirit guides are actual demonic entities that pose as these angelic figures that are here to guide you in a positive way, get you to where you want to go, get you to your purpose in life, and help you out, excuse me, in general. So that sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, sounds ideal. I'm like, whoa, I got spirit guides? I'm like, yo, I end up having 7.
Wow.
And I'll give you.
How could you tell it was 7?
The same way we have discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just put it like this in simple terms. Satan mocks and copies the kingdom of God as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So the same way God has, like, let's say archangels, when we talk about like Gabriel or these angels that war for God, right? So does Satan have a hierarchy, and we call them principalities.
Mm, right? Exactly.
These are demonic entities that control and run other lower demonic, you know, spirits. And they control blocks. They control neighborhoods, you know. So when you see Christians out there praying over neighborhoods and streets and corners and buildings, we're rebuking these principalities. These are not easy battles. These are principalities, right?
Right.
These yeah, are commanders.
Yeah, scripture says our battle is with the principalities, not with each other, not with flesh and blood, right?
Powers of darkness, and these are commanding entities in that demonic world. So what you have to understand is Satan does his best to mock God in every single way, and he what's that word? Perverts everything. Mm. So the same way we have discernment, I'm not sure what to call it, but there's a mockery of that in witchcraft, in the occult, where it's like, all right, so basically you're linked to these demonic these demonic entities. You're linked to these demons. That's just what it is, plain and simple. And through that link, they speak to you. They tell you things. The same way the Holy Spirit could talk to me. If I allow this demonic entity into my life, that demonic entity is talking to me.
Right.
Right? We talk so much about having God on one shoulder, the devil on the other, whispering to us or whatever. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. It's whoever you want to listen to. Whoever you want to open that door to is going to be the one who's talking in your ear.
Wow.
Right? And in my life, I allowed 7.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I was deceived into 7.
Right.
Why? Okay. Because I was into also, there's another one, numerology.
Oh, I see. So you were like, 7 means something.
Yes.
Mm.
But also, the first spirit guide that came into my life, because I opened demonic doorways through all these things that I was doing, the first one told me I had 7.
Wow.
On top of that, but told me the 7 weren't even there yet. They will come one after the other. Right? Wow. So slowly as I progressed into this, they will come. And obviously the more I did, the deeper I got into the cult, the more I felt rewarded. So the more I felt I was doing the right thing. And the whole deceived part about it is that I thought I was doing everything for Christ. I thought everything that I was doing, even certain spiritual demonic powers that I was given, but it wasn't mine. It was through these, you know, demonic entities that, and I like promise you, bro, I remember I was with, because I was around so many people that were in the same lifestyle, and we would have meetings every day. We would talk every day. I will go to mediums, all these things. So they also confirmed, yeah, you got seven spirit guides, man. Wow. Right? I remember I was in New Orleans with the girl that from my testimony, Tina. You saw the testimony, I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you heard this in the testimony, but it got to the point where literally I would see, like, these demonic entities will tell me, like, 5-10 seconds into the future of things that was going to happen. Like, don't cross the street, a car coming, boom, you'll see the car, boom. You know, but, like, simple things like that. But it got to the point where, man, like you can move stuff now. And I'm like, what? Yeah, you can move stuff now. And we tried, like, for 5-10 minutes. We tried on a paper plate, man. All of a sudden, like, once I was about to give up, I'm like, nah, we could do it, Tina. We could do it. I'm like, I'm focusing. I'm just like, not no like X-Men. I'm not sitting there like, you know. But I'm kind of just like, had my hand over it. All of a sudden, I see the whole plate go, just slide.
Wow.
And I'm like, I started bugging out. You know, but that was like my last 3-4 days before my big testimony. And there was so much happening that was spiritual, including I could feel when a new spirit guide entered my life. And there was one in particular that I will never forget. And I mentioned this in my testimony. My friend Nitro, he was sleeping over. I'm sure he still remembers this. He was sleeping over. And I had a humidifier, you know, the oil diffuser.
Yeah.
In the room, it will light up different colors. And that was the setting. It went from all the colors in the rainbow. It will dim down, go to another color, dim down, go to another color. All of a sudden in the room, the whole entire presence changed. The room felt like the whole entire room, all the walls, it felt like someone grabbed my room and threw it like in Mars or something like that. Mars doesn't exist, by the way. But anyway, threw it in Mars, and I felt the most heaviest, disgusting pressure that I've ever felt. I'm a person who grew up watching anime. I don't know if people know, like, power levels when the anime talks about that and stuff like that. And you just feel, like, the strength of the other person, like, and just, like, weighing you down. I felt like I was connected to the TV, the carpet, my bed, everything. I could tell that the whole room was just, like, this pressure over it and this weight over it, including myself. And I couldn't move. And my humidifier, the light stopped on red. And so my room was nothing but pitch black, and anywhere light could bounce off from was highlighted in red. And whoa. My friend was sleeping on, I had like an 8-foot giant beanbag in my room, plus, you know, my bed. So I was on my bed. He was sleeping on the beanbag. And he's like this on the beanbag, just sleeping. And my eyes automatically zoom over to my closet, which was open. I had like a double doors, big closet, mm-hmm. and my eyes zoom over there, and I could tell that there was a presence of something there, and I didn't like it. I knew the presence was bad, and I convinced myself that it was not.
And this was one of the final phases of your, I guess, rock bottom experience?
That's one of the rock bottoms before my trip to New Orleans, which was period rock bottom.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to connect where in the timeline we are.
Yeah, that's right towards almost the end.
Okay.
Like, maybe a few weeks or a month later, I end up finally going to New Orleans. But this is just a big one for, like, explaining spirit guides, because that's literally that what brought me to rock bottom. Because after that, it wasn't myself thinking anymore. After that, every day was, like, asking my spirit guides, what should I do? What should I eat? What should I wear? What should I take with me outside? Where should I go? What videos should
I post? This is what I was... Now that you say that, this is where I wanted to touch on before we move on. I remember you saying something, I don't know if it was in your testimony video or somewhere else, but even the way you dressed was different, right? And like, you started to kind of become more effeminate in the way you dressed, right? Is that, am I quoting
that correctly? Actually, that was a recent post that I made.
Okay.
So I never spoke about it in my testimony, but that was a recent post that I made, I think, before Mother's Day or something like that, but I was going on rants about different stuff.
Okay.
I think you saw it on my story, but I was just talking about effeminate, right? Mm-hmm. Effeminate. And no, it's right. It came 100% around those time periods, right? Where I dyed my hair completely white, got the nose piercing, had the lip piercing, you know, all of that. And it was just very effeminate. So the way I dressed, my hair, the way I carried myself, everything was different. It's like, I never understood till obviously looking back in that recent post. I literally posted that like a few, like 2 weeks ago. And I finally like really, really saw like, you know, no wonder people will ask me like, are you gay? Are you, I thought right. you were gay. No wonder, bro. I would have right. thought so too.
And it's interesting that when people do get into these demonic things or they get into these really like dark things that they do end up kind of becoming more effeminate usually. And in my opinion, it's because one of the things that the enemy disdains most, and one of the things that's most important to God is our gender. It's our manhood or our femininity if you're a woman. And I think, you know, when you lose sight of that, you almost get robbed of pretty much your purpose, right? Because our purpose as men is different than a woman who's in God, that her purpose is completely different. They're equal, but they're completely different. So I think it's a great argument for why the spiritual and engaging in these spiritual things can be a detriment, can be really bad for you, because it'll rob you of that, of the creation that God made you, you know. Yeah. Now you're trying to alter yourself to be something that you were never created to be.
Mm-hmm. In every way, in every single way, outside and inside, which is why I don't understand why Christians don't understand that when you come to Christ, even your clothing changes, but they yeah. don't, but they don't think so. You know, 100%. God just changes you in the inside. Yeah, bro. But your inside reflects the outside and vice versa. You know, look at what happens when you go into the cult and you're following Satan. Your outside, your appearance, everything changes, man. And just to touch on that real quick. Just thinking about like men becoming effeminate, that's just a form of losing control, right? Because men are supposed to be not controlling in a toxic way, but controlling as in the leaders, right? The leaders of the church, the leaders of the world, defenders of women, defenders of family, providers, you know, plowers of the earth, you know, the dominion that men have, you lose it in effeminate, being effeminate. You lose it completely.
Absolutely.
And for women, they get out of control.
Hmm.
So wow. if you see it, that's why you have all, you know, how girls are now. There's just provocative, all these things, like they lose control. For men,
right.
they also lose control, but in a different way. So both are to, you know, to make each other lose control in different ways. Women just go, and men just lose everything that it is to be a man.
Right. I think this is a great way to, before we get back to your story, to tie in politics a little bit, because I think sometimes a lot of people wonder why Christians care so much about the gender argument or why they care so much about the LGBTQ thing. It's like, well, when stuff like this happens, it's not just a physical thing. As Christians, we believe it to be on a spiritual level. And so like we were talking about, if a man is all of a sudden engaging in the world as a woman or as an effeminate person, they're not going to be able to do the things that they're required to do as men. And so it's going to take a toll on their lives one way or the other. And I think we get this motive attributed to us where we're trying to control people's bedrooms. And it's like, no, we just want the best for not only you, but society as a whole, right? We want you to be able to flourish and engage in the ultimate fulfillment that God has for you.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care what people do in their bedroom.
Right.
I really don't. I don't yeah. think about it. I don't care. But what they don't realize, LGBT and supporters of LGBT alike, what they don't realize, They swear that, and look, I'll give you this. God gave us free will, and they like to throw that 24/7. Yes, God gave you free will. Excuse me, that ginger ale killing me. So God gave us free will. It is not in my power, and I don't want to be that person, and I am not that person to remove that free will from you.
100%.
But as a Christian, it is in my duty, it is in my want to do's, it is in my power to tell you this is where you're going to end up if you continue that lifestyle. Now, if you do That's all on you. All right. I've done my part. I'm gonna leave you alone. I'm not gonna throw rocks at you. I'm not gonna tell people to kill you, arrest you for living your life, right? Yeah. As an adult who makes his own decisions, whose salvation is all in their hands. You have to want it. I can't make you want it. No one made me want God. No one made me want to be Christian. Nobody made me want to know Christ, who he is for real. I'm so happy that people allowed me to make my mistakes. God allowed me to make my own mistakes and find my way back to him. I'm so happy about that. I will never take that away from anybody. Mm. I won't for whatever reason. But here's the difference between everybody who's an adult and living their life and their actions only affect them versus LGBT, who now wants to affect my children, and I'm about to have a child. You're gonna affect my child's life? No. You're gonna affect the next person's child's life? No. You want to be in every single movie, my movie theater? You want to act, bro? No. Yeah. There's cartoons that have already been canceled, and they're like, no, we got to add a gay person in there for what?
Yeah.
For what?
100%.
Bro, every movie now has to have a gay person or else it's a problem. They're not being represented. What?
Right.
Every store has to celebrate Pride Month or else they're not being represented. They get canceled. What?
Yeah.
They want to teach. Bro, they want to teach kids how to accept everybody by telling them that by teaching them homosexuality. I can't correlate the two. Last time I checked, bro, I grew up perfectly fine, and I understand that everybody has different lifestyles, and I also understand that I don't need to agree with your lifestyle, and I understand you don't need to agree with mine, and I can let you live as an adult, and I can live as an adult, and it's fine, and we go our own ways.
Right.
But somehow, you're telling me that you be, and check this out, they'll be upset at a Christian, 100%. They'll be upset at a Christian, whatever a Christian has to say. I can't practice my religion if it talks against their lifestyle. Right. I can't practice my faith if it goes against their lifestyle. But my lifestyle is secondary to theirs.
Right.
Right? Then we want to pass laws. The cake baker.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big topic, and that's I think that's the overlap and the intersection into politics, like we were talking about. So, like, this is, when was it that you started talking about politics? Because I know when you became a Christian, that was a big hit for your audience. I can only imagine once you started talking politics, how mad they got.
Yeah, man, straight down, you know. Listen, I never cared about politics, and I really, to be honest, still don't. Mm-hmm. I care about it in the way that I'm supposed to as a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's pro this, pro that, and I won't lie. I was definitely pro MAGA for a short moment until I realized God's like, wake up.
Yeah.
You should be just pro-Christian, pro-Jesus. That's it. Christians should not be pro-black, pro-white, pro-Hispanic, pro-MAGA, a Republican, Democrat. You should just be Christian, because what Christian means is a person who follows Christ. That's the definition of Christians. When we got persecuted by Romans, Greeks, they labeled us Christians because we refused to stop following Christ. Anyone who said they were a follower of Christ were labeled Christian and persecuted, period, if you did not give up following Christ.
Right. It's so almost like, Christian. You know, even back then, you know, I love that. What came to mind was, like, it's almost like Christian is a political term, you know, because you think about the world back then, you know, that's a derogatory term back then.
Yes.
And now we've kind of embraced it. So I think it's definitely, I'm on the same page as you. Like, you see my little MAGA hat back there from when
I got one too.
Yeah. But, like, it was the same awakening for me. Like, at first it was like this MAGA movement was the first thing to come out politically, where it's like, I feel at home as a Christian. Nobody's judging me as a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I get involved, and, like, I'm really involved in politics now. Like, I'm in all sorts of clubs and stuff. But what I realized was, like, there's still people that need to be saved within that movement. Yeah. So like, I've kind of made it my point to make politics my mission field, you know, the inside of politics, and kind of remove myself from the whole idea of like, I'm MAGA, I'm a Latino Republican and all this stuff, because those titles all kind of distract from like what you're saying, the main thing, which is my identity is in Christ, and that's it. You know, so whatever comes along with that, that's what I am.
Yeah, bro. Listen, there's nothing exactly that I love how you just ended it. There's nothing that, how could I say? I see Christians like, oh, I'm pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not fall into the umbrella of being just pro-Jesus Christian?
Right.
Oh, what's another one? You know, like I support law enforcement or whatever it is. You know, God says to respect the law. Does that not fall into being pro-Jesus? I would assume that as a Christian, all your values fall under just being Christian. I would assume that they don't need to be anywhere else, because I'll tell you this. I mean, I know atheists that are pro-life.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And that was almost like you said, a slap to the face from God, where it was like, you think that you're being righteous by attaching yourself to this political party. It's like, I've already attached you to a community, and that's the church. That's all you should need, right? And I think one of the problems with our society is that we have to constantly reiterate what we believe, right? Because there are Christians that are pro-choice. There are Christians that want to defund the police, you know? And so now we have to specify, oh, are you that kind of Christian? Are you this kind of Christian? And we've diluted the phrase, but, you know, it just all comes from a lack of understanding what Christianity really is, which is why I love to talk about both politics and Christianity on this channel, because there's a lot of overlap with the ideas, but not on a cosmic level, just on a societal level.
Well, I'll also give you this. What killed Jesus?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who read the Bible, but it was politics.
Yeah.
I mean, when they asked Pilate, are you want to free Barnabas?
Barabbas.
Hey, are we going to free Barabbas or are we going to free Jesus? Which one?
Yeah.
And they picked Barabbas. That was politics. The Pharisees had to convince the Romans had to convince them through their law that Jesus was doing something that in turn affected their king, you know, in a bad way. They had to prove that he was breaking also Jewish law,
right?
But clearly Pilate was like, I mean, what is he doing?
Pilate was the ultimate politician at that point.
You understand?
He was like, let's let the people decide.
Yeah, exactly. So the people decided. And remember, crucifixion was something done politically.
Yeah.
That was something that people came together, voted for, and, oh, yep, this person is being crucified. That came politically. Jesus' crucifixion all went through law, politics, and the system that was there at that time. How dare you say that Christians should stay out?
Right. So that was going to be my next question. A lot of the pushback I get from other Christians is like, well, I don't think Christians should belong in politics. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there's a whole book of Judges.
Oh my God, that's great. I had a pastor from New York on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him the same question, and he was like, every time somebody tells me a Christian doesn't belong in politics, I ask them, do they hate Martin Luther King Jr.?
That's true. That too.
Yeah.
That too. You know, from politics to science, after this, and people just listening, look up how many Christian scientists put into the world that you live in today. Your cell phone. So many magnetic equations for magnetic fields. All these discoveries and bro, big time scientists, Christian.
Yeah, 100%.
From politics to doctors to there's Christian. There's been a Christian behind everything. You can find a Christian that did something big everywhere. And this is my final point on just that topic of Christians staying out of politics. How could I say this? Why is it that people say, oh, separate the church from the government?
Mm-hmm.
But the government is all over the church.
Right. Well, so that's interesting. I brought that up to somebody who was like a progressive Christian. He wanted to debate me. So did an IG live with him. And that was one of the first things he brought up. We need freedom of religion, you know, separation of church and state. And I mentioned to him, like I did some research on it. The phrase separation of church and state, not only is it only mentioned once in the Federalist Papers, and it's like some random little piece of wording, but also it's not to keep the church out of the government. It's to keep the government out of the church. That's what it's really there for, because what they didn't want a national church like in England, right? That's what they didn't want, the Founding Fathers. What they did want was the ability for anybody to have any kind of church that they wanted to, and the complete freedom to do so. So it was to limit the government, not to limit the church from getting into the government.
Correct. Because at the end of the day, and it's just common sense, are people in the church not people?
Right.
Who work, who have kids in school, who have kids in public school, who receive public assistance, whether they do or not, all these things, they just simply follow a faith and go to a church a couple days out of the week.
Yeah, 100%, that's it. Man.
How is their life not impacted by politics and they should stay out because you just simply in it? Just be honest.
Yeah.
But just be honest. You hate the word of God and you don't like what we stand for and you know how we're going to vote and you don't like it.
That's and you just don't want accountability.
Yeah, that's just what it is. You mm-hmm. know exactly how we're going to vote on the matters that you're going to vote against us in, and you want to gain that vote. So you want to convince us that we don't belong there.
Yeah.
Our vote doesn't matter because our faith.
Wow, man. So look, I know you gotta go. You got a newborn on the, you got a baby on the way. You got a family now, which is, you know, so many blessings for that, man. But I got you at about over an hour right here, so I want to make sure we leave some time to let you plug away, to tell people what you're at now, what you're doing, what you're working on. I know you have some a clothing line, which is dope as hell. Plug away, man.
Christians never die, man.
Love it.
I'm not the best plugger. I don't really plug, but you could just find me at Emmanuel on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly active. I am starting a podcast myself, actually. It's called Everything Christian. What I want to do is kind of give a voice to the smaller Christians. It seems to me like in the church, they're mingling too much with the world, and I kind of want to bring us out of that and bring it back to a sense of fellowship. And I kind of just want to have people who really don't feel like they're being heard as Christians come on. So literally somebody from who knows where in Hawaii that with a population of three people, them, their mom, and their dad, and that's all who live there. I'm going to have them on the podcast talking about that, you know, Christian businesses and just Christian everything. And that's the biggest thing I got right now. Obviously, I got music that's out. I got Christians Never Die, one of my favorites right now. I have so many songs that I want to put out. These are just songs that I made for God, and they mean a lot to me. And I just put them out as, you know, the Holy Spirit guides me. And that's pretty much it, man. I'm waiting for my newborn child, and you know that's it for me. You know, pray for me. Definitely pray for Angel as well. And you know, thank you for having me here, bro. I don't know. I don't do much.
No, that's great, man. It sounds like you're doing a lot. You know, if you need any help with the video stuff, you let me know. I'm here for you. I'm right over the bridge. So
thank you, bro.
You give me a shout. But dude, it's been an honor to have you on, man. Like I said, it's unreal. So you know, we'll be in touch. You know, I'll let you know when I post all this and all that stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro. Right. God bless you.